Well, good morning, everyone. Good to see everybody here today. Looks like all the regulars are here. We're a small bunch, but we're a devoted bunch, which is a good thing. Just remember me as I preach today that I would do what the Lord would have me to do and preach what He would have me to preach according to His Word, and that you get something out of it and that you can take it home and study more on it. We pray that you do these things so that you're being pleasing to the Lord, and that hopefully you learn more about His Word and about doing the things that He would have you do. We're going to be talking about three scriptures from the writings of Paul, talking about Christian conduct today. There's a lot to say about Christian conduct according to Paul's writings, and he wants us to review these writings and do what he says do. Because we need to be Christians through and through, we need to be doing what the Lord says do, and we need to be acting in a way that's pleasing to God. We're going to be beginning today in Romans chapter 12, and we're going to be starting reading in verse 1, and we're going to go down through verse 6, and then we'll be reading some other scriptures also, so please follow along. Romans 12. Verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so you, be many, are one body in Christ, and individual members one of another. So let's go back to verse 1. I beseech ye therefore, brethren. Now, beseech is a word you kind of look at and you go, wow, what is that? Basically, it means earnestly beg. It's not just, I ask you to do, I request that you do. Paul is saying he earnestly begs the Christian here to, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice. And that means here in the church, at home, in your workplace, in your school place, out in the marketplace, at the gas station, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. We got people watching us every day of our lives, the non-Christians, looking for us to see what we do. They're looking for something to say, aha, you said you were a Christian and you're doing that? Or, that's the reason I don't go to church with you guys, because you're a bunch of hypocrites. If you're waiting to come to church and not deal with hypocrites, you will never darken that door. We are Christians, we make mistakes. But the advantage that we have over the non-Christian is we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We have somebody we can turn to forgive us of our mistakes, to help us to learn from our mistakes so we don't do them again, and to help us to help someone else along life's way. Maybe they've got a problem that we've had before, and we can kind of help them along also. Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed in verse 2. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't let the world turn you into something that you shouldn't be. We got people, there's TV shows, there's movies, there's music, there's all kinds of things that makes people try to conform us to something other than from God, conform us to the world. But we have to stand out different from the world. We have to be separate from the world. In And verse 3, it says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." We've got a lot of people that think more highly than they ought to think, even as Christians. They get puffed up. People give them praise. And they get puffed up in themselves and say, "Golly, look at what great person I am. I don't want to be a great person to you. I want to be a great person to God. That's who I want to be pleasing with, is God." Now, sure, it's nice to get a pat on the back every once in a while and say, "You know, you're doing a good job," or "We appreciate your efforts," or whatever. But that's not what I'm up here for. I'm up here to be pleasing to God so that at the end, I hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." That's the payoff that I'm waiting to get when my life is over with, whether it's a day from now, 10 years from now, 30 years from now. But to think soberly as we continue, as God has dealt to each one of us a measure of faith. For we have many members in one body, but not all members do not have the same function. For we being many are one body in Christ, and individual members of one another. We all are a group of church. This is our church. But we all have individual things that we do, that some do better than others. You got Jerry that preaches every week. He prepares the lessons. He prepares the Bible studies. You got me, I try to lead singing. I try to listen to what the Lord has me to do. And when he has me preach, I try to do what he has me to do, read what he has me to preach on. You may be, your job is to pray for other people. God's given you that position that you need to lift up other people in prayer, that they be made better according to the will of God. You may be one person that can talk to somebody easily. Me, sometimes I have problems with that because you get so busy trying to help them, I sometimes miss the boat. But you got other people, they got a spirit of listening. You can talk to them, they listen to you, they help you. They're just comforting in spirit because they listen. So as you can see, each of us has a different thing that we can do for the Lord. And not one is above over anything else. The preacher can't say, "Oh, I'm preaching. I'm the big man around here." The song leader can't say, "Well, I'm doing better than you are because I'm song leading." Everybody has the important job to do for the Lord. Don't ever diminish what you do. And don't ever get puffed up and thinking you're doing too much. Now, if you would, turn your lesson here to Romans. We'll be continuing in Romans chapter 12 and turning over to verse 9. Verse 9 of Romans 12 says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that is evil, cling to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another." That, don't always put yourself first. Put your brother ahead of yourself. Always be willing to give good praise and good uplifting, edifying to your brothers and sisters in Christ. "Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope." Sometimes that's hard for us to do. Sometimes we get damaged and we think, "Oh, I don't know what's going to happen." But we need to rejoice in hope that we have. "Patient in tribulation." That is so hard to do when you're going through tribulation. And you see people that seem like, "Oh yeah, they're great at that. They just go through a problem and they pray and everything's great and they're not bothered with it." But when you're going through that tribulation, you're going through the middle of that storm and there's black on one side and black on the other side, and and you don't see a way at the end, it's hard to go through that. But we need to be patient in tribulation. Rejoice with them who rejoice, and weep with them that weep. You know, we need, if somebody's had, if a Christian's had a good thing happen to them, maybe they've gotten a new job, maybe they're really happy in the place they are with God, we need to rejoice with them. But we also need to do the other, weep with them that weep. You know, you may have lost a family member. You may have got out of the way a little bit. And you can help, we can help them get back into the way through Christ and His Word. We need to weep with them that weep. There's a time for both. You wouldn't go into a funeral telling jokes. It's not appropriate. You wouldn't go into somebody's celebration of something that's happened to them, and instead of feeling good for them and praising them and saying thank the Lord for them, and you go in and you're crying all over the place. It's not appropriate. So you rejoice with them that rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Now, if you skip down to verse 17. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Something that is very hard. There are some people that make it very hard to live peaceably with them. Maybe it's the way they've treated you. Maybe it's the way they act toward other people and you see it. Maybe they're always causing problems. But we still should live peaceably with them. Shouldn't return evil for evil. We shouldn't say, oh boy, I wish something bad happens to them. And they say, yeah, the Lord finally got you, didn't they? No, that's not what our job is. We are supposed to, as much as possible, that lives within us, to be real peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Now, coals of fire was used as a purifying tool as far as gold does. They place the heaping coal of fire on there, and as the gold runs down, the impurities would come out, and you would have pure gold. That's what we're doing when we are nice to our enemies and we are not returning evil for evil. We're trying to refine them through Christ and get the good in and the bad out through heaping coals of fire on their head. Do not be overcome by evil, the last verse of the chapter says, but overcome evil with good. Let's look at the first one. Do not be overcome of evil. It is very hard in this day and age not to be overcome with evil and really just throw up your hands and say, you know, this world's going crazy. I can't deal with it. But we need to turn that around and say, okay, we're not going to be overcome of evil. We're going to overcome evil with good. Good always conquers evil. Now, if you would, continue with me as we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And this is mostly called the love chapter. So we're going to talk today a little bit about what some things love is and what some things love is not. And if you really want to be beginning in verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave himself rudely, does not seek his own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will cease. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but that when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I also am known. And now abides faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. So let's go back to verse 4 and look about some things that love does. Love suffers long. And it does suffer long. Sometimes things happen and we have to just suffer and endure it and bear it. And it's not easy to do. It's not easy for anybody to do. But that's what love does. It's kind. It's not evil. It's not vindictive. It's not vengeful. It's kind. It does not envy. Boy, I wish I had the car that Danny has. Boy, I wish I had the house that Jerry's got. It doesn't envy. I have tried very hard to be satisfied with what I have. There's another scripture that says, you know, that we should be satisfied with what we have and not lust after other things. So I try to exercise that every day. You know, I've got a place to live. I open a refrigerator. There's food in there. We have a cool place to stay in the summer, a warm place to stay in the winter. Thankful for my wife and even my animals. My animals give me a lot of love and companionship. We don't have kids. And so the song is true. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings. See what God has done. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God has done. Take stock every once in a while, more than we do, about what God has done for you each day. First of all, He allowed you to wake up this morning. He didn't have to allow us to see another day, but He does when we wake up. And that's one of the first things, not bragging on me, I'm just telling you what I do. First thing in the morning, I say, thank you, God, for letting me see this day, and thank you, God, for letting me and Debbie have another day together, because it's very easy, something could happen to either one of us. And to tell you the truth, that scares me to death, because she is my rock. I don't know what I'd do without her. But she tells me the same thing. Well, it's the same thing with me, but no, it's not. She does a lot of stuff for me. I mean, she helps me with almost everything. I'm not the most healthy guy anymore, so she helps me with a lot of things. And I want to thank her for that. And we try to do the best we can to reciprocate. So let's continue here. We're going to be moving over. If I can find where I am here. Bear with me just 1 second. To Galatians chapter 5. If you would turn there, please. And we're going to be talking about two things that Paul talks about at the end of this chapter. The works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. Now, you're going to be beginning in verse 19. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also tell you in time past, that those who pursue these things, practice these things, will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So you look at the fruit of the Spirit. First, it talks about love. We just talked about the love chapter. Paul talked about it in 1 Corinthians 13. Joy. Do you have the joy in your life with God that you should have? A lot of times, we let the devil steal our joy. We get aggravated. We get frustrated. And the devil, the scripture says itself, never give place to the devil. When we're doing that, when we're doubting, we're saying, oh man, what's going on? I don't have joy anymore. We're giving that place to the devil. We need not to do that. We need to always realize what joy the Lord has given us in our life. Excuse me. Peace. You ever notice you have a problem you're going through and you're just, you have that peace that the Lord puts over you? And you see somebody that's not serving God look at you and that, man, you don't even have sense enough to worry. We have that peace that passeth all understanding. We have God to go with us through any problem that we have. That's the difference between us and the world. That's why we can have that confidence. That's why we can have that peace. Long suffering. That's another tough one. Sometimes it's hard to suffer long. We have something that we're going through and it's a long time thing. But we need to continue to long suffer in order to find a glory at the end. Kindness. Goodness. Faithfulness. Have you been faithful as far as coming to church? Have you been faithful as far as reading your Bibles? Have you been faithful as far as worshiping God, coming when the doors are open? That's all important things that God wants us to do. Gentleness. Self-control. Boy, that's one I'll be working on the rest of my life. Self-control. It is hard sometimes to have self-control when you see things happening in this world or things happening to you that are unjust. And you're like, whoa, I just want to just drill on this person. But you got to have self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So, what basically Paul is talking about today is just basically conducting yourself as a Christian so that other people can see God through us, not for our glory, but for His glory. Trying to realize what God has done for us by sending His Son give His life for our sins. And thankful that He gives us an advocate with the Father when we have need of prayer. That's Jesus Christ the righteous. If you respond to the invitation in any way today, if you need to come forward, if you need to take care of something, if you want to pray about something, come forward now as we stand and as we sing number 84.